You're listening to University of Winnipeg, CKUW 95.9 FM.
You're listening to Sister Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your mind.
Hello and welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, and your hosts are staff of Voices, Manitoba's Youth in Care Network. My name is Mary, and I am a fellow former youth in care, as well as the outreach coordinator here at Voices, and I am joined today with...
Erin. I'm the manager here at Voices, and I'm also a former youth in care.
And for those of you that may not know, a Youth in Care Network is a group of young people who are currently in care or have lived experience in care. The purpose of the network is to connect us to one another, to support each other, and to cultivate a family of choice. CKUW has given us the opportunity to share space on this station, to bring the voices of youth in and from care to the mainstream radio, to bring you guys awareness about rights, to share a unique perspective of child welfare from those that have lived through it, and to bring our community together through education and stories. And we couldn't do this without support from CKUW and without the support from our listeners. To show your support for local radio, we ask that you consider donating to CKUW's annual fund drive between the dates of February 6th to 20th. Through your generous donations, the station and System Kids can continue to bring you the voices, the music, and a sense of community through listener-driven radio. You can pledge now to support independent radio in Winnipeg.
And you can pledge today by calling 204-774-6877. Remember, you make Fund Drive better with your donation. So pledge now at fundrive.ckuw.ca.
That will take us into our icebreaker. Today's question is, what is a talent you have that you are proud of?
Oh, that's a great question, Mary. One talent that I am really proud of is my ability to sit still and crochet for long periods of time to complete projects that I give to my loved ones.
And we see it done here at Voices. Erin came in at Christmas with scarves for everybody. She's made blankets. She's done it all. I find that very impressive to be able to sit there and just be in a flow state, and you're creating something while you do it.
Well, and what I do really like about it is I relax while I'm doing it. I can get into that zone. I can watch movies that I've been putting off watching. You know, I can do that because I have been crocheting for so long. I don't need to concentrate on each stitch. I can just get into that zone and just do it.
I love that. It kind of becomes muscle memory.
Absolutely, it does. I've been crocheting. I actually learned how to crochet. It was my foster mother that taught me when I was actually pregnant with my son, and he is 27. So I've been doing this for a long time.
You're an expert at this point.
What about you, Mary? What is a talent that you are most proud of?
Well, a talent that I am proud of is my ability to jumpstart a car very quickly. And this talent arrived because back in the day when I got my first car, which was, as they call it, a lemon, car. The day after I got it, I went to start it, and this car would not start without a boost. So every single time I wanted to drive this car, I had to boost it. And so I was so efficient. I found like the best booster cables that were connected to a battery, and I could just do it so quickly, like just before work. And then I'd get to work. Work would be over. I'd have to boost it again. So it's kind of a funny talent, but hey, like if anyone ever needs their car jump started, I am the person to come to.
Okay. No, that's really good. Out of need, you developed this incredible talent. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. What do we have for Voices updates?
So next we have some updates for you guys. Our offices will be closed on the 16th as it is Louis Riel Day, or also known as Family Day. We have Empower You coming up on the 23rd. Empower You is our Monday night program that runs from 5 to 7 p.m. We share a meal together and like to do different activities and workshops. On the 23rd, we will talk about financial literacy. If you're a youth in or from CARE and you want to join, you can reach out to us and let us know, or you can always drop in and check it out. Also, Earl Cook will be coming up on March 14th. This is a hockey game where youth in and from CARE versus their supporters in tribute to Earl Cook, who was a youth in CARE who passed away from cancer. If you would like to play in this hockey game, either as a youth or a staff, please reach out to daniel@voices.mb.ca. You can also just come and be a spectator and cheer on both teams.
Thank you for those updates, Erin. And as always, you can find us on the third floor of 61 Juno Street. You can give us a call at 204-982-4956. And you can check out our Facebook, X, and Instagram at Voices, M-Y-I-C-N. And it is now time for our rights highlight. Today we are highlighting Article 19 of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of a Child. Article 19 tells us that states parties shall take all appropriate legislative, administrative, social, and educational measures to protect the child from all forms of physical or mental violence, injury or abuse, neglect or negligent treatment, maltreatment or exploitation, including sexual abuse, while in the care of parents, legal guardians, or any other person who has the care of this child.
So Article 19 talks about protection from physical and mental harm, but mental harm is often the hardest to see and the easiest to dismiss. Protection shouldn't just mean preventing abuse. It should mean creating environments where young people feel heard, respected, and valued.
And Article 19 is also important because it holds adults and governments accountable, but it also reminds me that laws alone aren't enough. What really matters is how they are lived out every day, whether that's by foster carers, social workers, teachers, and institutions. Protecting children means listening to them, believing them, and involving them in decisions about their own lives. And until that happens consistently, Article 19 remains something that we hope for rather than something that we fully experience. We would also like to highlight Article 19 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. This right tells us that states shall consult and cooperate in good faith with the Indigenous peoples concerned through their own representative institutions in order to obtain their free, prior, and informed consent before adopting and implementing legislative or administrative measures that may affect them.
So, from a youth in care perspective, this right shows why decision makers need to slow down and involve the people most affected by their choices. Even when intentions are good, actions taken without consent can cause harm. Article 19 reminds us that respectful, transparent decision making leads to better outcomes and stronger relationships. For youth in care, being included in decisions about our lives helps build confidence, dignity, and a sense of control over our own futures.
And we will have more on this idea of youth in care having a voice and being involved in decisions that affect them in our second segment, so stay tuned for that. This is going to take us into our next song break. Next, we have a Canadian singer-songwriter from Winnipeg, Manitoba. You may have heard her in the band Nathan or Leaf Rapids. She's also known for her solo album, Crow's Feet and Grayskull, which was nominated for a Western Canadian Music Award. Here is So Long by Carrie Latimer.
Failed its last caress.
welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network.
CKUW is all about the people. It's a station that doesn't just talk about community, it is the community. CKUW defies stereotypes of what radio is supposed to sound like. Our programs are created by people who are down to earth, real, and rooted in lived experience. You hear voices you won't hear anywhere else, voices that reflect Winnipeg as it actually is. CKUW is inclusive by design. It makes space for emerging artists, marginalized communities, new ideas, and curious listeners who want more than the mainstream. There's real value here. Music you didn't know you needed, conversations that make you think, and stories that help you understand your city better. What makes CKUW unique is that they're not driven by profit, it's driven by passion. The people behind the mic are here because they care, because they believe radio can still lead, connect, and teach us something. There's so much to learn from this station about music, about culture, and about each other.
And when you support CKUW, you're not just donating to a radio station. You're investing in independent media, local voices, and a platform that puts people first. It's you, our listeners, that help programs like System Kids become possible. CKUW's annual fundraising celebration, Fund Drive, is on air now. This is our once-a-year effort to raise money for operations and improvements. Go to fundrive.ckuw.ca to pledge. And as a thank you, for gifts over $35, donors can opt for special Fund Drive incentives. Donate now at fundrive.ckuw.ca or call 204-774-6877 to make your pledge today.
Up next, we have our community connection. Today's connection is Rainbow Resource. Rainbow offers a range of programs for the 2SL plus individuals and families at all ages and stages of life, including a youth program, summer camps for youth, 55 plus programming, a variety of community-led social support groups, and free short-term counseling. In terms of education, they provide workshops and consultations to not-for-profit unions, corporate offices, healthcare professionals, and event staff and volunteers to increase awareness on issues related to the 2SLBGTQ plus individuals and their families. They also have a youth program, a program for youth from the ages of 10 to 21, where they can participate in a fun, safe, and supportive activities and events for 2SLGBTQ+ and allied youth to connect with their peers. Camp Aurora, a summer camp for 2SLGBTQ+ and allied youth to connect with peers in a summer camp setting. Counseling. They also provide short-term counseling to the 2SLGBTQ+ individuals and people who are questioning. They offer counseling over the phone, in person, and over Zoom. You can find them at 514 St. Mary Avenue in Winnipeg, and their phone number is 204-474-0212, and their office hours are from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and then they reopen at 1:30 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Their email is info@rainbowresourcecenter.org, and their website is rainbowresourcecenter.org/about.
Thank you for sharing that connection, Erin. Next, we have a child welfare in the news story for you guys. This article is from Global News, highlighting a report that was published on January 20th, 2026, and it is titled, Manitoba Indigenous Moms Dealing with Child Welfare Face High Mortality Rates. This new study shows that Indigenous mothers in Manitoba who have their children removed by the province's Child and Family Services, CFS, face much higher rates of premature death than other mothers. The research was conducted jointly by the First Nations Family Advocates Office of the Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs and University of Manitoba researchers and published in The Lancet Public Health. The team analyzed 24 years of anonymous government health and social service data covering April 1998 to March 2022, with over 16,000 Indigenous mothers and nearly 78,000 non-Indigenous mothers. Some statistical highlights from the report are that more than one in four Indigenous mothers in this study had at least one child taken away by CFS, compared with about one in 25 non-Indigenous mothers. And after child removal, Indigenous mothers' risk of premature death was over four times higher than for non-Indigenous mothers who did not have children removed. Non-Indigenous mothers also showed an increased mortality risk, almost three times higher, though not as high as Indigenous mothers. The leading causes of death following child removal were suicide, accidental poisoning, unintentional injury, and homicide. And it's important to note that these are largely preventable causes. In response to this report, Manitoba Ministers of Families Nahani Fontaine said the government is investing in community support and services to help keep children with their families and to improve outcomes.
Thank you, Mary. As someone who has spent time in care and now supports youth who are navigating the same system, this report is heavy, but it is not surprising. What stands out to me is that the data finally backs up what many of us have seen and felt for years. Child removal doesn't just impact children. The report doesn't frame this as individual failure. It points to systems and conditions that consistently produce harm, especially for Indigenous families. Causes of death highlighted in the study: suicide, poisoning, injury, violence. Those outcomes happen when someone is in an immense amount of pain.
Thanks for sharing, Erin, and I agree with what you're saying, especially when it comes to these outcomes happening from being in pain. And what I appreciate about the report is that it doesn't use the statistics to sensationalize Indigenous suffering, but instead it is framing the deaths as preventable, which is an important distinction, because it puts responsibility back on the systems and the government and takes it away from the individuals. And it also aligns with what Youth in Care say later on, is that they didn't necessarily need to be removed, but that their families needed support. System Kids on CKUW is about young voices navigating systems that weren't built for them and finding power, creativity, and community anyways. The show reflects real lived experiences, not polished stereotypes. It's honest, inclusive, and rooted in Winnipeg's youth culture. CKUW gives us space for stories and perspectives that you're not going to hear anywhere else. And System Kids is a perfect example of that mission in action. It brings value to listeners by educating challenging assumptions and amplifying voices that are often overlooked. When you support CKUW, you're supporting programs like System Kids, programs that lead with heart, build understanding, and remind us that there is always more to learn from each other.
Fun Drive runs from February 6th to the 20th, and it's an opportunity for you to help us to help you get the radio that you love. Don't wait. Pledge today at fundrive.ckuw.ca.
We are going to jump into our next song break of the show. Next, we have Lush by Guilty Sleep.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to CKUW 95.9 FM. This is the program System Kids, brought to you by Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network. Today we are talking about child welfare, but not from a policy lens or case file perspective, but rather what happens when we shift from files to feelings and start seeing youth in care as the experts of their own lives. And we believe that this is important because we know that young people in care are written about long before they are ever known. So today we want to discuss what changes when youth voices aren't just included, but valued. So today I'm going to be asking Erin some questions on what putting youth voice first means and what it looks like in practice and how some of her own experiences shape these perspectives. So to kick things off, Erin, you have been manager here at Voices for a year now. Yay. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you here and what inspired you to get involved in this important work?
Thank you, Mary. I would say I've been passionate about child welfare pretty much my whole life. When I was younger, I was in and out of group homes, and I eventually was in a foster home at the age of 16. And so aging out of care, and just with my own life experience, being a single parent and different things like that, led me to wanting to empower youth in any way that I possibly can.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I love to hear the strength and like the empowerment that comes from experiencing it yourself and, you know, turning around and saying, you know what, I want to go help others that go through this.
Well, and something else that really drew me to Voices was later in life, I decided I wanted to go back to school. And as we all know, school is very expensive, but with the guidance of Voices, I was actually a candidate for the Keith Cooper Scholarship through Voices. And I was awarded that scholarship. So that led me into my schooling to be an addictions and community support worker through CDI College. And in turn, that brought me full circle back to Voices to do my practicum here. And I fell in love with the work so much that I decided to stay on.
Ooh, I love that. It's funny how things happen. Hey, you just hear about an organization. Luckily, there were scholarships and that got you in school. And then next thing you know, you're working for that same organization.
And what was really great, when I contacted Voices, it was Marie that was helping me with this. And she was very helpful, very understanding and approachable. And I really enjoyed conversing with her and everything. So I knew that Voices as an organization was the helpful, empowering kind of organization that I wanted to be part of.
Awesome. And shout out to Marie. She is beloved by all. We only hear positive stories about how she's supported, I think, all of us that work here in some sort of way and most of the youth we interact with. So Marie, if you're listening, we love you and thank you. So on topic of our conversation today about putting youth voice first, we often hear the saying, the phrase, no decision about us without us. During your time in care, were there any times you did feel that some decisions were being made about you without you?
How about all of them? It was when I was in care, I was bounced around a little bit in my younger years. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't have regular contact with the social worker. There were no supports in place. I was kind of just thrown to the wolves. And even later on, when I was in a foster home, I received support from my foster home, but the decisions on my future or anything like that were definitely made behind closed doors, and I was not part of the conversation.
I think that this is unfortunately something that we hear common, is that youth are often reacting and adapting to these decisions that are made behind closed doors. And, you know, a lot of that emotional turmoil, a lot of like feeling like your voice doesn't matter, could be prevented just by having youth sit in case planning, right? When they're old enough, when they're capable. But I think that can happen pretty early. Like, you know, youth aren't ignorant about the things happening and they feel it all so deeply.
I can tell you when I went into care, I didn't know what was going on from day to day. And even when I was in my regular foster home, it always felt like I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I was always tense and willing to pack up as quickly as possible if a move was happening without my knowledge.
Yeah, and that instability can cause a lot of damage, right?
In the Absolutely.
Long run. So let's flip this narrative now. What sort of things were in place that did help you feel supported, or when did you feel like you were heard?
Honestly, I was not supported during my time in CFS care. My support happened later on in life when I met my husband, Brian, and we've been able to form a life together. And this is the time that I feel most stable. I did not have any real supports or real stability growing up.
So taking that experience, I'm sure that we can understand the need and importance of us in our roles as supports to make sure that we're listening, to make sure that, you know, youth voice is being heard, and that we're, you know, incorporating that in how we provide services to them.
Well, and also my time as being a single parent, right? I learned how to rely on myself because I had two little ones to look after, and I had to push down all my insecurities, all my instabilities, push down my trauma, because my number one job was to look after my children. So I learned to rely on myself. And that can be actually quite lonely. So it really was until I met my husband, Brian, that now I feel I'm in a stable partner relationship and we're doing well.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that things got better. And we tend to have lots of conversations here about that survival mode, the resilience, and like the codependence on yourself, how that is such a strength. But like you said, it can be isolating, and we're really missing out on supports that could be there that want to help us. But it's so important that we feel safe first before we're able to ask for that help, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when you think of the word advocacy, we use advocacy a lot here at Voices, and you know, we understand the importance of it in the work we do and in making Youth Voice feel heard. What does this word mean to you in the work that you do?
Well, with the work that we do here at Voices, and myself personally, I think the first thing that we need to look at is actually listening to the youth that are calling or coming in. And because a lot of the time they're coming in, they're feeling unstable, they're feeling overwhelmed, and they're, you know, sometimes just at a breaking point. So I find sitting with the youth, hearing their stories, really, really listening to them and help them to navigate so we can figure out a path forward. That is key in this sector that we work in. But listening to the youth and helping them to pinpoint what to do next is very helpful for the youth that we look after.
Absolutely. And, you know, we find advocacy can take many forms, whether that means we're standing behind a youth, you know, they just come in, they need to kind of debrief, or, you know, help, they need help to make a plan going forward. So we're there in the background advocating, and they go and they do all the things themselves. Sometimes a youth needs someone to stand beside them, right? So maybe they need to attend this appointment and they just need some support and, you know, help to ask questions or to be heard.
Or even writing an email, right? Like sometimes that can be overwhelming. So here at Voices, we will stand with them, next to them, and help them come up with the proper wording. Like sometimes you have to take emotion out of it, and it's very difficult to do. So us being like an outside resource, we may be able to articulate the needs better.
Absolutely, right? And then, you know, sometimes advocacy takes the form of standing in front. You know, if that's what a youth needs, is someone to speak on their behalf, is that it can really take many different forms. And I think something that is so important and something we really try to do here is teaching youth how to advocate for themselves, right? It sounds like an easy thing to do, but it is definitely not always easy.
What I find really great about the advocacy work that we do here is we are teaching by example and showing that youth from care, like both you and I, we're both from care, and we can model what it is like to be able to be an advocate. And that teaches them how to be an advocate for themselves.
Absolutely. And I think, like, from a social work perspective, opening up those conversations that allow youth to step into that position where they can advocate for themselves, whether that's co-creating service plans, if they're let the youth propose strategies that help them meet their goals rather than saying, this is what we're doing and this is how we're going to do it. And even, you know, having a needs assessment, asking the youth about the issues that are most important to them and letting them participate in that and create that, right? That goes such a long way, and it gives youth autonomy, and, you know, it feels like they're a part of those decisions.
As they should be.
As they should be. So to dive into the files to feelings conversation, when you hear the phrase file or case, what comes to mind?
It sounds very, very cold, and it's kind of like a number type of thing. And when I think about files and cases, I find that they don't actually describe what the youth is really like, what they enjoy, their thoughts and their feelings. What I find is it's more diagnoses, it's number of placements, but it doesn't talk about how the child has fared through these situations that they've been thrown into.
Definitely. And, you know, we hear of a lot of youth that want to access their file because there's these missing puzzle pieces that they need to put together to make sense of that, you know, that time and care.
But accessing your file later on in life would actually provide you with like dates, you know, so then you can actually put together your story as to what happened to you during that time. It made these dates and maybe names of the foster parents or where you were placed if you were in group homes. It may help you to actually put together a real timeline of your life, because as you're in care, it is so chaotic, or it can be, I should say, that you lose time. And sometimes it's really hard to figure out where you were at certain times in your life. And having access to that file later on in life may help put those pieces together. I know for myself, I was bounced around a little bit, and I have missing gaps in my timeline as to where I was, who was looking after me, when any assessments were done, that type of thing. Like I lost all that. So had I received my file, I had the potential to actually put that timeline together.
So a file can really cover that practical information that we need that does help us put it together. And like you said, as a kid, you kind of lose time, but also what child is like keeping tabs or writing down? You know, you don't think about that stuff when you're a kid, but it can definitely become useful in the future. And I think the flaw or the downside that can come with files is thinking that this is who a youth is, or that, you know, we understand a youth solely from their file. There's so much more that has to be there to understand that person. And you know what, just hearing from the person themselves and asking them questions about their life will, you know, provide those answers rather than viewing case notes, you know, or reading assessments or whatever it is. That really doesn't give us the full picture.
But having these case notes and everything like that are actually really, really important for somebody coming into that youth's life, so they can actually just get like a baseline as to what has happened, what's been done. So then they can, when they are meeting with the youth, they have more, a better idea of what questions to ask, how to approach this youth, and ask those appropriate questions.
Yeah, I think when, you know, incorporated together, you know, taking that information to hear from the youth themselves and get a better understanding of them is always going to be the best way to go about that.
Absolutely.
So what can you say confidently happens when youth are genuinely listened to?
Well, generally, trust is what is built. When somebody is really listened to, then it breaks down those walls that we can put up to shield ourselves from disappointment, from judgment. If we are actually listened to, that is when that trusting relationship and healthy attachment can happen.
Definitely. And I think the listening with the follow through is so important, because it's one thing to listen and then there's no action, right? Then that still leaves someone feeling unheard after. But when there's that follow through, like, I'm going to do this for you, and you get it done, that builds trust over time. But then it's also important, I think, for us in support roles to be able to communicate when we can't do something, and to be careful not to promise the world, even though I know we want to. You know, we want to solve all the problems, but at the end of the day, we're limited. So being transparent about that and saying, you know, I wish I could do all this, but I can't, this is what I can do. Just it avoids that disappointment and that broken trust that can happen when you promise and don't follow through.
Absolutely. I mean, time and time again, if a youth is coming to us and they're really seeking some supports, what we try to do is put together SMART goals. So that's something that is, you know, attainable. It's in a time frame, and we follow through and we keep them in the loop as we go, because sometimes there's back and forth when it comes to accessing resources. But what we try to do is to include the youth in what is happening in real time.
Oh yeah, definitely, for sure. And I think having, you know, a wealth of knowledge of other resources that are out there that can, you know, do the job we can't do is so important. It goes such a long way just to point someone in the right direction, right? And even go walk alongside them as they access it. So let's get practical for a second. What can people in support roles do to help youth feel heard?
Well, there's a lot going for active listening, like eye contact, body posture, you know, not looking at your phone, not looking at your emails, like really focusing in on the person that is speaking, I find really, really important.
Yeah, I agree. To be fully present and be there with that person goes a long way. And I always think back, I'm like, well, or I think of myself, I'm like, what makes me feel heard? You know, like, I want to provide that same standard to anyone else.
And it also helps if you have a positive mindset, right? Like, people that are needing you to listen to them, sometimes there's some really major challenges that they're facing. So trying to have a positive outlook, making that plan, you know, creating it with the youth is so, so important.
All right. Well, we are getting near the end of our show. Thank you so much, Erin, for sharing your insight and for, you know, sharing your experience. I know that's not always easy to do, but it is so helpful to hear from someone that with lived experience.
You are most welcome, Mary. And my story, I share it freely because I know that there are youth out there with similar experiences, and I don't want them to feel alone.
Absolutely. I love that. And I second that. So today's conversation was about what happens when we shift from files to feelings, and a reminder that we don't lose professionalism, but we gain humanity. If you enjoyed listening to the show today, we ask that you consider donating to CKUW's fund drive that is happening now. This fund drive is a once-a-year fundraising event that will help CKUW keep on bringing you the voices of local artists, local news, and great stories. CKUW gives us space for programs like System Kids to exist, and we couldn't do it without the help of our listeners. So please donate now at fundrive.ckuw.ca or call 204-774-6877 to make your pledge. For gifts over $35, donors can opt for special fund drive incentives. And with your support, CKUW can keep doing the good work that we all love and appreciate. That will be a wrap for our show today. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back at the same time next week. Bye.
Bye.
You know, I done got old. Yeah, I done got
crying shame. Well, I done got over it. Hey, I done got over it. Satisfied where I done got over. Hey, I done got over. You know I done got over. I done got over at last. I was miserable, even though my love was in vain. Every time I turned my back, you were out with some other man. Well, I done got over it. Yeah, I done got over it.
Free, 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 free. From the Transcona Skids to the West End Punks, this is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
It's CKUW's Fun Drive, on now till February the 20th. Fun Drive is where we ask for listener donations to help keep the station on air. We are a listener-driven radio station, meaning we take community suggestions seriously. Did you know that CKUW was the first station in Canada to air Democracy Now 5 days a week? That was because of a listener suggestion. You can help keep CKW an independent media institution in Winnipeg with a donation. Make a pledge now by calling 204-774-6877 to make a donation or go to fundrive.ckw.ca to donate online.
Fun Drive has always been celebrated for its excellence, but there's a live Fun Drive show we're putting on in public domain 633 Portage Avenue. On Friday, February the 13th, it's a heavily absurd dance floor catharsis with Cookie Delicious, Cola Cola Pop, and Forstein. $15 at the door. Show at 8 p.m.
With your CKUW Friends Card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. And with a Friends Card, your dollars get you more at
King Cod Market Pub at 580 Ellis Avenue, your local arts and craft beer pub. With a rotating selection of local beer, art, music, and Southern-inspired pub eats, your 10% discount on all food and selected taps makes this West End neighborhood pub an ideal place to start and or even be your next night out. Be sure to check out the Bella Vista Nights every Wednesday for free live music, sponsored by CKUW 95.9 FM, fiercely local.
Join CKUW's community of support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a Friends Card and get access to more deals around Winnipeg.